Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pearl Global Industries Limited Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallab Banerjee, Managing Director of Pearl Global Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello, good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to our Q3 and 9-month of financial year 2024 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have the Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope all of you have gone through the investor presentation uploaded on the exchange and our company website. We are happy to report highest-ever 9-month performance since the inception, demonstrating a promising growth. This growth is primarily driven by a 20% increase in our overseas revenue, particularly from the sales in Bangladesh and Vietnam. However, the revenue from India was negatively affected. This was due to an overall less order, and we could relocate some of our production to competitive locations like Bangladesh while maintaining our market share with our customers in a conservative environment. Now, with the holiday sales in the U.S. being over, all retailers and brands have successfully recovered from the over-inventory situation of last year. Looking ahead, we anticipate a gradual improvement in the consumer sentiment, showcasing a resilience and strength of the U.S. and other economies. There are some concerns in the U.S. with uncertainties of elections this year and the ongoing wars. However, on the positive side, we are looking forward to interest cuts by the Fed and also across other developed economies. With the expected decrease in the inflationary pressure, we anticipate an overall improvement in textile and manufacturing trade. Despite the challenges, our multinational presence in manufacturing and sales, diversified product offerings, robust design, and strong customer relationships have solidified our positions globally, making us the preferred vendor for an increasing number of customers. While amongst all of our export business to the reputed Western customers, this is regarding the Red Sea situation. I must say that while all the export business of the reputed Western customers is done on freight-on-board terms, the increase of freight costs does not affect us. All our customers have long-term rates negotiated with the carriers, so it is not even affecting them. However, this increases the transit time for goods going to Europe and the U.S. from India and Bangladesh by 1 week. Some U.S. retailers are cautious of their inventory and their books and asking the factories to prepone their shipments by 1 week. Our manufacturing setup in Guatemala, where transit time is just over a week, is getting more queries and lots of interest from these customers. However, capacity in Central America is limited and would be just a fraction of that of Asia. So in terms of Vietnam and Indonesia, what we are seeing is the vessels, they transit through the Pacific Ocean for the West Coast of the U.S., so there is no effect at all. Pearl's diverse location is a huge strength to tackle such global logistics challenges that come up time to time. In terms of global textiles and apparel exports, China's share has been on the decline, and due to various geopolitical factors and rising manufacturing costs, business from Myanmar also shifted to the geopolitics.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Pallab.
Can you hear me?
There's a disturbance from your end, Pallab, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me?
There's a crackling sound.
Is it still persisting?
Yes, it's fine. You can go ahead.
Okay, so should I repeat my last paragraph?
Yes, yes.
What I was talking about, yeah. Okay, so I will speak once again from the logistics point of view. This is regarding the some disturbance that happened in the Red Sea for shipping. So in that regards, while most of our export business to all the reputed Western customers is done on freight on board or FOB terms, that is why the increase of freight cost does not affect the business. And for the customers who are paying for this freight, for they also have long-term rates negotiated with the carriers. So it is not even affecting them either. However, this increases the transit time for goods going to Europe and US from India and Bangladesh by 1 week. And some of the US retailers and European retailers are cautious of their inventory, and what they're asking the factories is to prepone by 1 week. That's the utmost the effect that we're seeing because of this Red Sea situation. Our manufacturing setup in Guatemala, from where to US, the transit time is just over a week, is getting more queries and lots of interest from these customers. However, as you know, the capacity all across Central America is limited and would just be a fraction of that of the Asia as on date. Vietnam and Indonesia is not affected as their vessels travel through the Pacific Ocean for the west coast of US. And Pearl, as a company, is location is a huge strength tackling kind of global logistics challenge that comes up time again. In terms of global textile exports, okay. Hello everyone, once again. Apologies for the technical inconvenience that we had. As I was speaking, like in terms of global textiles and apparel exports, China's share has been on decline due to various geopolitical factors and also the rising manufacturing costs. Apart from that, business from Myanmar shifted out due to the geopolitics again. For us, our presence in Bangladesh and Vietnam has become more advantageous. So is Indonesia. These countries have seen a boost in their global apparel trade share. Bangladesh, in particular, has become a leader in the garment factories. Thanks to substantial investments in green growth, meeting the demands of the consumers of the West, this shift has greatly benefited us, allowing us for more effective factory utilization and improved efficiencies. In regards to the Bangladesh wage revision, as we had discussed in our last quarter's call, that increase in Bangladesh wages would create an impact between 12 to 15% in our wage bills. And overall, if I look at Bangladesh's P&L perspective, it changes by approximately 1 to 1.5%. On the compared to the top line. If we continue to operate as is, however, if we have strategies in place to mitigate this increase, which entails more automation, bringing in more efficiency with increase in business and by adding better profile of customers. Hello?
Hello, Pallav.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes, you're audible. Please go
ahead. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So as I'm mentioning, like we have a solid connection with our top 5-6 customers for over a decade now. These partnerships have really thrived over the years while we have expanded and welcomed new customers on board. With offices, staff and design teams in USA, UK and Spain, we are able to serve our customers even more effectively and keep our supply chain running smoothly. Our asset-light model approach continues to help us to enhance their performance metrics. Looking ahead, we are focused on further boosting our metrics in a similar way. Our primary objective is to elevate our success to even greater heights by surpassing
our previous revenue growth records, which will directly impact our bottom line. We are committed to achieving this goal through multifaceted approach. This includes the introduction of new product categories, fortifying our existing customer relationships, and expanding their share of wallet. Moreover, our objective extends to drawing the fresh clientele while nurturing a dynamic, adaptable, and inventive workforce committed to bringing Pearl Global's vision to success. We are pleased to announce we are strengthening the Pearl Global leadership team at the board level with the introduction of Dr. Rajiv Kumar, Mr. Sanjay Kapoor, and Mr. Ashwini Agarwal. The profiles and a portion of the deck have been uploaded into the exchange. Their arrival promises to introduce unmatched experience, driving both innovation and success. With their vast expertise, they are set to strengthen the company's strategic objectives, guaranteeing ongoing success in this sector. Their forward-thinking leadership harmonizes effortlessly with our dedication to innovation, bolstering our preparedness for the continual growth within our ecosystem. Furthermore, we wish to inform that Pearl Global will be hosting an investor analyst meet on 26th of February in Mumbai at Jio Convention Center to discuss various growth opportunities and way forward of the company over the next 3 to 5 years. The formal invitation, consisting of all details, will be uploaded on the stock exchange soon, and we would be happy to meet everyone and discuss our strategy for the future growth. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, our Group CFO, who will provide you with the insights of financial performance. Sanjay, over to you.
Thank you, Pallab. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. Coming to the financials and operational performance of the company, we have reported the highest-ever 9-month performance. On a consolidated basis, 9-month FY24 revenue increased by 5.4% year-on-year to ₹2,558.8 crore on account of improved capacity utilization from Bangladesh and Vietnam factories and our multi-vessels. Our India revenue saw an adverse impact due to shifting of sale from turnover to competitive location like Bangladesh. On a consolidated basis, adjusted EBITDA, excluding the ESOP expenses, stood at ₹232.5 crore for 9 months FY24 as compared to ₹192.7 crore for 9 months FY23, a growth of 21% year-on-year, while margin improved by 120 pips year-on-year from 7.9% in 9 months FY23 to 9.1% in 9 months FY24. ESOP expenses for 9 months FY24 stood at ₹6.1 crore. 9 months FY23 had no ESOP expenses. The factor contributing to the margin enhancement were the enhanced operational efficiency and increased profitability due to improving efficiency in Bangladesh and Vietnam units. Finance costs increased from ₹48.9 crore in 9 months FY23 to ₹60.9 crore in 9 months FY24 on account of increase in factoring costs for receivable financing, increase in interest costs on short-term and long-term borrowing, and interest for lease amortization. Our return on capital employed improved from 21.9% in 9 months FY23 to 26.3% in 9 months FY24 due to improved asset turn and improvement in profitability. This is calculated on a 12-month trailing basis. Reported PBT for 9-month FY24 was ₹137.7 crore and was ₹199.9 crore for 9 months FY23, a growth of 15% on year-on-year basis. PAT stood at ₹120.1 crore, a growth of 20.5% year-on-year basis. Revenue for the quarter stood at ₹704 crore. Adjusted EBITDA for quarter FY24 stood at ₹68.6 crore compared to ₹73.2 crore in quarter FY23. Quarter FY24 margin stood at 9.7% versus 10.2% in quarter FY23. Effective tax rate was lower on a group basis due to high concentration of profit in overseas entity. PAT for quarter 3 FY24 stood at INR 33.8 crore compared to INR 37.4 crore in quarter 3 FY23. Coming to standalone performance, revenue for 9 months FY24 saw a dip of 24% year-on-year to INR 633.6 crore. Our adjusted EBITDA saw a dip of 40% year-on-year for 9 months FY24 from INR 48.2 crore to INR 28.7 crore in 9 months FY24. PAT for 9 months FY24 stood at INR 16.3 crore, a drop of 37% year-on-year basis. Quarter 3 FY24 revenue stood at INR 157.6 crore, adjusted EBITDA stood at minus 0.8 crore, PAT grew by 52% to INR 3.5 crore. This was because the tax rate has increased due to non-taxable pass-through dividend income. Because the tax rate has decreased due to non-taxable pass-through dividend income. The standalone business saw an impact due to shifting of order to BD and slack in demand. However, we believe the worst quarter is behind us, and going ahead, we are confident on the industry growth, and we believe that our company is best placed to capture the largest pie of this opportunity. Regarding Bangladesh wage increase impact on earnings, which we have already mentioned by Pallav, that it is approximately 1 to 1.5% of Bangladesh top line in their P&L. However, from the risk mitigation perspective, there are many measures which have been taken. As such, we don't see any adverse impact on earnings in coming quarter. Furthermore, KPMG has been designated as our statutory auditor in Bangladesh as a strategic step towards fostering good corporate governance practices in overseas operations. At this moment, overseas operations contribute more than 80% of our profit. This commitment reinforces our dedication to fortify our corporate governance framework. Thank you. We shall now open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and detailed presentation and outlook. I would still want to understand how is your order book stacking up, given that you are saying that you are we should expect gradual improvement in demand scenario. So could you just help us understand what kind of growth should we expect, or how muted the scenario is for the next 2 to 3 quarters?
Yeah, thank you. When I spoke about the conservative approach in terms of the demand, that's because of the macro factor that is prevailing all over the world, whether the elections across so many democracies of the world and also especially USA, and in the war situation that we are seeing. In terms of order book, yes, we are exercising all our strategies that are in place. So on the long short term, like for the next 2 quarters, we are not seeing any dearth of orders at this point of time to fill up our order book. So, but yes, in the long term, like these are the risks that the market still has. I would say, like as we are seeing the U.S., the Trump's presidency option is coming more and more clear. So there are certain companies which are going to go conservative at this point of time. So those ups and downs will continue to be there in the market. And that's why we said, on the other hand, if the interest rates starts going down, that should definitely help the market to go up in terms of their consumer behavior.
Okay, understood. So, sir, what kind of capacity utilization should we be operating in for the next two quarters? I'm still not very clear on the near-term scenario that I missed.
So you see, like what we had in the last two to three quarters, where most of the manufacturers had to take a slow approach because the demand in USA has especially gone down because most of the retailers had a lot of over inventory and they bought in the earlier year, but were selling till this holiday season of this year.
Sir, your voice is
that
not clear.
Problem
sorry.
Is,
I'm so sorry.
Mr. Palla?
Is it better now?
No, sir.
Hello?
Hello, is it better?
It is much better than
is
earlier.
It better? Can it be?
In between, it goes, it cracks in between.
Oh, I'm sorry for that. What I'm saying is, the problem that we had over the last three quarters where not only us, I think you must have heard from others as well, like the order book scenario was not so good because they had a lot of inventory, especially in the U.S. market. So order books that was coming from the U.S. market was slow and muted because they had, most of the retailers had inventory from the earlier year. So that particular problem is now behind us. In their holiday season, which ended in December, most of these inventory or over inventory position that they had has been cleared. So now it is that how robust did they come, they see the market or the consumer demand would be. So when I speak of a conservative approach in terms of consumer demand, that's being more of a normal term compared to last year's situation that we are facing. So yes, compared to last year, the order books are much better. Our capacities are filled. Our order book is full at this point of time for the next couple of quarters. So we don't see any problem in order books in the short term. But yes, whether the market would go gung-ho and or full force at this point of time, there I feel this, when I speak to our customers in all the, especially in the U.S. and all, we see that there is still a conservative approach for them. But remember one thing, like when they had an inventory situation, they were buying almost 30 to 40% less. Compared to any conservative approach that they would be doing, they might be buying only 5-7% less. So as a market, we do have a play of more than 25% from year on year, in terms of U.S. market especially. Other markets continue to be normal, and we are not seeing a big change, either negative or positive at this point of time.
This is very helpful.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you. And the second, how are the margins now given that demand is picking up? So are we in a better position to command some pricing and improve our margins further, or is pricing pressure prevails in current scenario?
So the pricing pressure that happens because of raw material prices and the capacity, like open capacities or unfilled capacities across the globe, so that situation is definitely getting better, which was there earlier. So that is definitely getting better. But it is not to that extent as of now that you can see a huge rise in the raw material prices or any other things. So as of now, I would say it's much better than last year. But if you talk of 2021-22, when like really like the raw material prices went through the roof because suddenly there was a huge demand, that situation is not foreseen as of now.
Understood, sir. Thank you for the detailed answers. I'll come back to the questions you forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question, Pallab, is on your current quarter. So will you attribute the degrowth mainly due to Bangladesh problems the industry is facing in Bangladesh?
No, as we mentioned, that, you know, what would happen in this particular quarter, we had faced a situation in which our order books were less, and because the U.S. market was not placing their business, like I'm sure like you have heard it in early calls as well, like when the U.S. had an over inventory situation, they were placing almost 25-30-40% even certain customers were placing less compared to what they normally buy, so that resulted in the preference of the country that goes in is Vietnam and Bangladesh for us, because their capacity and the cost competitiveness that we could get there is much better than what we had in India. So as a result, some of the orders that we prefer to service from Bangladesh compared to India in that last quarter. So our dip, if you can see, is more in India compared to the other places like Bangladesh and Vietnam, which where our order books actually went up. That's a strategic decision that we took to make sure that we hold on to the wallet share of our customers.
So can we
does that answer your question?
Current quarter, are we seeing business as usual in Bangladesh?
Yeah, yeah. Bangladesh, we don't see any disruption. So before the election, there were some kind of disturbance, I think, which you must have read in the media. But for example, our factories, we have four big, large factories out there and some other partner factories. So only one of the factories was affected for about 2.5 or 3 days. Apart from that, we never had any kind of problem. So as a result, Bangladesh, before election, there were a lot of, you know, stoppages and all that we could see in the media, was to make sure that they were in the opposition, or maybe the workforce was trying to make sure that the wage increase happens in time. So once that had happened, after that, work has been quite normal. We haven't seen any kind of disruptions.
Right now, we have 44% of our capacity in Bangladesh. So in 3 years down the line, what kind of percentage will Bangladesh contribute to your top line? I just wanted to have a rough figure of Bangladesh in your overall scheme of things.
So we, our strategy is to have in any location. We are not going overboard. So we should continue to see about anywhere between 30 to 40% from Bangladesh. Let's say 30, 35% is our goal. But in that range, we'll continue. So you'll see similar kind of growth would be happening in India and Vietnam and other places also. But yes, there are a lot of opportunities at this point of time in Bangladesh, because they had recently had a wage increase. So naturally, the factories which were inefficient or which are not well managed, there are some people who will be slowing down or getting out of business. So there is definitely a lot of shake will happen in Bangladesh, which is happening as we speak. And that is an advantage that we'll be having.
Right. And on the growth per se, can we expect you guys to clock in 15 to 20% what you have been guiding for next year, on the current year base?
Situation as of now that we think in the world, yes, we should be talking that. Yes, until some challenges comes up. I think both the wars that is happening in Ukraine and Israel, a lot of effort is being done to contain those wars and put back the economy of the world economy on track. So as with what we are seeing as of now, we don't see any challenge to get to our target.
And one bookkeeping question for Sanjay: what kind of tax rate should we model in our should we model because it's been up and down?
Yes, so tax rate should be taken in anywhere between 16 to 18% on a steady state basis. And this year, the India contribution to the profit pool is less. So larger part of the profit is in overseas entity, which has a lower tax rate. And therefore, you're seeing this fluctuation coming up. But on a steady state basis, we believe that, between 16 to 18% should be our effective tax rate.
Fair enough. Great. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deya from Nivesha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. I wanted to ask that, one of the previous calls you mentioned that the U.S. market has started procuring from the near areas only, and that is the reason why we set up a Central America plant. So is this change a long-term thing, or would we see U.S. Procuring material from other markets as well, so like India, Vietnam, etc.?
See, the the sourcing ability that is there in the Central American market is only a small fraction of compared to when you compare to the USA. Asia sourcing. That means like, you know, Asian countries like, you know, Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan. So all these countries, the kind of large capacities that we have, the numbers. So I can give you an example. Like, you know, even India, like our export is about $18 billion, $16 billion. Between 16 and 18, we're moving, I think. Hopefully, we'll touch 18 very soon. So that, compared to that, Guatemala ships only $2 billion as a country. So naturally, it's a very small fraction of what Bangladesh and Vietnam and India and Indonesia can do. So there are some investments that is going on there. The costs are high. There, the minimum wage and everything, like, you know, you have to plan for at least about $400 to $500, that kind of wage is there. So even like some of the players like us and some of our other colleagues have definitely opened up some kind of production unit there. Also, the limitation would be in terms of raw material. They don't have as many mills or as much of cotton or other growth that is happening in this part of Asia is not there. So yes, for the US retailers, they want to mitigate risk. They might move about whatever 3, 4, 5% kind of sourcing into Central America. Some people might go a little higher percentage, maybe going up to 10 to 12%, but they cannot shift a very large chunk of their manufacturing into that market. So Asia will continue to be important, and as we are seeing geopolitically, as China and Myanmar is going like, you know, is reducing in terms of apparel manufacturing and trading internationally. So that's a very huge chunk of business that will be flowing into the other countries of Asia. So for now, it's not a big concern. But yes, we went strategically to the central market, because Central America market, because our key customers, where we are very closely working with, so they wanted that we have a presence there, and they were guaranteeing certain amount of business. It will not be a large, it will be much smaller fraction of our total business, but yes, it definitely helps in terms of our presence in that area and customer servicing that we want to do. And it's not that it's not profitable. So it's definitely something smart to do.
Correct, sir. So like right now, the Guatemala plant is sourcing just to the North America, right?
Yes, Guatemala plant would be supplying to only North America market.
And I also wanted to understand this, that geographical data are very confusing in nature. So why is that?
Maybe too close to the mic. Hear you more clearly.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yeah, better.
Yes.
Yeah. So the geographical data which we have is very fluctuating in nature. So can you please explain why is that so?
Sanjay, will take the geographical EBITDA.
Hello. Sorry, I just repeat the question, I mean, if I got it correctly. You're saying fluctuation in EBITDA for the group level. So group level, I think we are consistently improving EBITDA. There is a fluctuation in EBITDA in the standalone entity. For the reason the top line is really gone down in this quarter, which has impacted adversely, because our fixed cost remaining the same, that could not be leveraged with the lower turnover, which we hope that in coming quarter it will get addressed. Otherwise, if you look at our EBITDA trajectory, I think it has been in upward direction, plus minus 0.5 bips only, and we believe that we should continue to improve EBITDA as we go into the next financial year as well.
Correct, sir. Sir, I also wanted to understand this thing, that if we get a get an order from a particular geography, so just for example, let's say we got an order from North America, is it any correlation between the plants which will supply from like the Bangladesh plant or the Indian plant, or it can go from any of the plants?
So normally for every location, we have certain products which we develop from each of these locations, which are like, as Pearl, we do about 6 different categories of product. So that means like pants, t-shirts, woven tops, outerwear, swimwear, sleepwear. So every plant is, like, you know, have got some kind of specialization which we utilize. For this particular quarter, Q3, which may be, like, you know, giving rise to this question that you are asking, is where has quality product, which was originally made in India, and we took decision because of the pressure that we could get still better margin out of Bangladesh, which was a quite an extraordinary situation, I would say, that was happening because of the less or over inventory situation in USA, which resulted in much lesser order. And the market was super competitive and the margins were hit all across. So in that period, we took some smart decision so that we can maximize our return to all of you. So that's something like it was an exceptional situation that Pearl as a company is ready to execute like that. But in general, like, our strategy and our infrastructure exists in a way so that each category is being serviced from a location which has got its specialty.
Correct, sir. Thanks a lot. That, that was really helpful.
I hope it explains, or should I explain more? Just let me know.
No, I'm here with my doubt, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rohit Mehra from SK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Rohit. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, what are we doing to improve our Indian operations and performance?
So India, I think we are in strong wicket. Like, we are seeing definitely a lot of demand. Like India, we had specialized. For example, Pearl specializes in the items like women's blouses, shirts, sleepwear, and those kind of products, which are lighter weight fabrics. So we are seeing good demand and good order book situation on that. So there was a situation, as I mentioned, in the last quarter, which was the fag end of our over-inventory situation of US, and we could see and we could foresee that situation that was coming up. So we had worked with our customers to ensure that we can give them a better price or hold on to their better wallet share and also generate better return for our investors. So that's something, was a decision that we are taking. But in general, India is in a strong wicket, and we are experiencing growth in the coming year, as we are seeing the demand and the responses from our customers. We would be exploring more options in India, like to expand into other states, as a lot of initiatives are coming from the government of India. So that growth plan and that strategy is, we will continue to update you about how we plan it out for the next few years. So I think we're on track from India.
Okay, understood. And can you share the expected top line and bottom line based on the target sets for FY25? And what is our CapEx plan for same, that is FY25?
So I just want to say that, you know, we have already stated that we are looking at a 15 to 20% top line growth for the next 3 years, and that guidance still remains there. We, with the kind of capacity what we have, we are in the customer relationship which is getting developed, and the demand scenario which is changing, we are confident of achieving 15 to 20% top line growth in the next 3 to 4 year time. As far as the capex is concerned, this year we have done 120 crore of capex. We are committed a capex of 120 crore, out of which 90 crore has been incurred, which is a mix of automation, which is a mix of capacity enhancement and certain replacement. I have given the percentage in my last earning call. I can mention that out of 50 crore has gone in capacity enhancement, and 30 has gone in automation and modern laundry equipment which we wanted to have in Bangladesh, and 10 crore is towards replacement of machinery. Going forward in next financial year, I think every geography will have their capex requirement. We are compiling the capacity requirement, I think we should be in the range of similar range of 80 to 100 crores capex across geography. But at the same time, every capex is looked at its merit of return on capital employed. But looking at the opportunity which lies ahead, I think we should be having this kind of capex as a first cut number to start with.
Yeah, got it. Thank you for your detailed answer. So that answers my questions, and all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Anurag Agarwal from Agarwal Analytical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. It was very heartening to listen that we've hired KPMG as an auditor in Bangladesh. Could you throw some light if are we going to hire Big Four auditors for Vietnam and other locations as well?
Okay, I just would like to update. I think in the previous call we did that. So in Vietnam, we have a Deloitte as statutory auditor. In Hong Kong, we have Ernst & Young as a statutory auditor. And in Indonesia, there is a tier 2 firm, which is top one in tier 2. That's an auditor. And Bangladesh, we have now KPMG. So overseas location, we already have the Big Four working as statutory auditor. The reason is our profit and the revenue and the capacity is also overseas maximum at this point in time. So the need of centering the governance framework was felt in those overseas locations, and that's how we have been making a change and a change of the auditor once their terms are getting over to strengthen our governance framework.
Got it. Another question, sir, you mentioned that in Bangladesh, the wage hike will have an impact of about 1-1.5% on our EBITDA, but we are planning to negate them through automation or through getting more premium clients. So are we close to adding any new, client out there?
So I just want to clarify before Pallab can go ahead. It is 1 to 1.5% of top line of Bangladesh country. You know, it's not a group turnover. Only Bangladesh country. Yeah,
Pallab,
please go ahead.
Yeah. So, yes, like we are going through all the three strategies. That means, like, you know, better efficiency and, you know, dedicated production lines. Second would be to increase the top line to have more volume so that our overheads can be distributed over more. And the third would be to have customers, like, who are with better margins or a better service level to provide and get better margins as well. So all the strategies in play, yes, we are in close communication with new customers, which we are starting soon.
Sorry, I didn't get the last part. Could you repeat the last part?
Yes, I said, like, you know, your question specifically was that addition of new customers happening or not. So yes, we are close to that, definitely.
Okay, that's great to hear. And the last question is...
I'm sorry to interrupt. May I request that you return to the question queue?
It's a very small question. Last one, if you may allow. There's going to be a Bharat Tech Expo in Feb only. So is your company going to participate in that?
Yes. Sure. Okay. Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. At the outset, we would like to congratulate the management for significantly turning around the operations in the last 2 years despite challenging times, and also particularly for strengthening the corporate governance initiatives when it comes to independent directors as well as having Big Four auditors in the subsidiaries. We hope you will also consider the Big Four auditor for the standalone entity and India entity as well in the future. Secondly, you sound more optimistic now in terms of the potential demand going ahead. How do we understand what would be the peak, say, revenue potential from your current capacities, assuming the current level of raw material prices and some reasonable mix, whatever you think is right? What would be that figure?
So as we mentioned that our goal or what we are working for definitely in that 15 to 20% range of growth, and compared to what happened 2 years back where there were a lot of inflation in the raw material prices, which was also increasing or inflating the top line. So compared to that, like even in our current price range, we are talking about this kind of growth that we have targeted for ourselves. So that we continue and we are confident of achieving that.
What I meant, Pallab, was when does the capacities get over? So 15, if you achieve 15-20% growth for the next year, does that mean you are operating at 90% utilization at that point? Or do you still have room to
grow? Yeah, and see, yes, definitely we have room to grow. If you had seen, like, originally the kind of infrastructure that we have across all the region, we have, with minimum capital expenditure, we can grow to almost up to about another about 10 million pieces plus. We are currently, I think, in the range of about 60 million pieces. And with some investment, like, for example, certain growth that we are having in our factories where we are increasing a number of machines, a number of lines, with that kind of minimal capital expenditure, we can grow up to about 84 million pieces annually. So that's the current infrastructure that we have. But that doesn't mean that we are not looking for more opportunities and options. So that we continue to have. We may start a couple of additional factories over this year or so, both in the countries where we are present very strongly. So that will continue to happen as we see, like, in fact, if we go more than that, this current 15%, I think, should be workable. But even if we see that, okay, there is a more potential and bringing in additional customers, they will come out strong with us. So we can quickly go and have additional factories also with us. Today, we have that plan and options ready for us.
Right. I mean, currently, you're closer to 50 million pieces, I think, in terms of shipped capacity, so that 50 can kind of total 84 with smaller capacity.
Yeah, so yeah, last year we saw that we were around 54. Compared to that, I think we should be, because the raw material prices have really gone down compared to the year before. So even you know, the kind of growth that we will be achieving this particular year, you will see that number of pieces have definitely gone, and I think that will continue to go up again in the coming year. So, yes, currently what we are talking about is on the current raw material prices, which we don't see immediately to go either way, down or up. So with that thing, assuming that contains, that remains constant, we are still on path to the regular growth that we are promising you.
Okay. And are you looking at any M&A in the future? Is that something you're working on?
So we took you know, to raise capital, so we took that option approval from our board. So we are ready for that. So if some good opportunity comes up, why not? But as of now, I would say, like, you know, more of the kind of infrastructure that we have, we are planning more on that basis. But yes, we are always on the lookout for good options.
Understood. And in terms of the margin profile, which is the potential margin profile, let's say, as you scale up 2 years, 3 years, 4 years out, I understand there's an element of product mix as well. You are already at closer to 9% kind of margins, and you had guided to double digit. But I'm just trying to understand, is this business, and given Pearl Global model, which is different from other garmenting companies in India, I mean, is the band more like a 13 to 15 kind of percentage margin business that is possible, or is it more on the lower end in terms of double digits that is there?
Yeah, would you like to answer that, or
let me just take this question? Yeah, okay. So, in terms of the margin trajectory, you know, I think one is that, you know, with your question was whether 3 years down the line, when we achieve those kind of a growth in top line, as to where the margin can go. So, let's say that we are achieving that 15 to 20% growth. I think we should be looking at definitely 3 to 4% improvement from where we are right now. Given the leverage, it will play out over a period of time. The given that, you know, the infrastructure which is already built in terms of design, marketing and the group structure we have to facilitate that growth. Now going to 13, 14, 15%, I think it's, I mean, some of our factory and overseas are already generating that kind of a margin. So as you mentioned in your question itself, you know, it's a question of product mix which prevails. I think it is always a combination of which product prevails and how do you really capture the wallet share. So once you try to balance it out, maybe there is some averaging happens. But yes, there are certain style which already generate 13 to 15%, and a few factory, couple of factories are already working on that parameters. So I hope I am able to give you. So there is no clear direction in the sense that 13 to 15%, but yes, there is an opportunity exists in certain pockets in the given segment where you can achieve that number. And on a blended one, you know, 12-13% can be achievable if, you know, 3 years down the line when we are looking at, or when we keep on achieving 15 to 20% growth year-on-year basis.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pulavarti Saikiran, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Pulavarti, please go ahead.
Yes. So just one quick question. Your business seems to have a very high fixed asset turnovers, probably in the range of 6 currently, but even if I look at in the last 10 years, they hovered between 4 to 6 times. Looks like reasonably higher when compared with other peers, more so in the textile industry. What explains this and how do you see this going forward so that we can just get a handle on what kind of capex you might be needing? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. So asset turn in our you know, business normally is 4 to 4.5. when the factories are operating at their peak level, it means the operation has stabilized post the start of the new operation. And as the operation keeps on going, let's say 5-7 years down the line, the asset turns start increasing naturally because the depreciation asset will keep on generating. The life of the asset is, you know, already 10 years, 12 years plus, so which means that your asset turn goes on a higher side as the asset keep on aging in that sense. And there is a very nominal repair and maintenance expenses one incurs towards that. Now, the second asset turn component is, you know, the combination of own capex plus the partnership factory. To give an example that, you know, if we have four our own factory in Bangladesh, one in Vietnam, we have a similar number of factories which are working on a partnership model, which means that, you know, with the same amount of infrastructure, you are able to actually enhance your turnover. So that's why, you know, the asset turn will always be, with our focus on asset light business model, the asset turn will be sustainable in between 5 to 6 level in years to come also. And in India also, our strategy is to work in a model where the investment in not very heavy in the fixed asset, where we are able to generate easily 4 to 5 kind of asset turns. So on a steady state basis, I think when the operations start, in the initial period when the new operation stabilizes, anywhere between 4 to 5 should be the norm we expect our factory to generate.
Thanks for this. Just one thing, if you can just elaborate further, you said regarding the partnership model, is my understanding right that they will put in or they will share the capex and hence asset turns will be higher? That's what you were suggesting?
Yeah, so currently the structure is that there are many factories which are already operating, but they lack marketing design capabilities. So that's where the Pearl joins hand with them, use their infrastructure and get a marketing order to them to provide the quality inspection and everything. And we also provide a working capital arrangement in terms of sourcing of fabric to control the quality of raw material which goes into garment. And that helps us in terms of improving an overall asset utilization.
Do you find this more scalable, sir? So you would, if you have to think for the next few years, you will be in a position to identify more opportunities like this, hence you will be able to scale this up further across the geographies, or is it this model is more specific to any specific geography as such?
Yeah, so wherever the market, the production manufacturing market is more matured, this particular model exists more cohesively out there. In India, it's still less. But if I look at Bangladesh and Vietnam, where who does a substantial contribution to the world trade or world manufacturing of Apple, so there this model is much more prevalent. So at Pearl, you will see that almost about about 10, 15, 20% of our business would always be in this model, where capital expenditure may not be ours fully.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot. This is really helpful. Thank you. Highly appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our team or SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on the call.
On behalf of Pearl Global Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.